With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, a state representative says the governor should sign a bill that some worry would open small employers up to frivolous discrimination lawsuits. House Bill 4572 on the governor's desk would open businesses of 15 or fewer employees to be investigated for various wrongful termination cases involving alleged discrimination. Representative Will Guzzardi.
We have the discriminator-in-chief in the White House who's trying to ban Muslims from entering our country, who has a long track record of harassment and discrimination against women. We have an opportunity in the state of Illinois to stand up against those kinds of behaviors.
National Federation of Independent Business Illinois State Director Mark Grant urged a veto and said the measure sends the wrong signal to small businesses.
The way this is set up, you're going to see a lot of litigation created against the smallest of the businesses. They don't have HR departments. They're not prepared to deal with this kind of stuff.
The governor's office didn't respond to messages seeking comment. The Illinois Innocence Project's criticizing the governor's recent veto of a bill that would have put new restrictions on the use of jailhouse informants as witnesses in criminal cases. The program based at UIS seeks to help people that may have been wrongfully convicted of crimes. It says 17 people in Illinois have been sent to prison on the basis of false testimony from informants who are seeking to have their own sentences reduced. The bill that Governor Bruce Rauner vetoed would have allowed more evidence to be introduced, questioning the reliability of such witnesses. Lawmakers will have the chance to override Rauner's veto this fall. An Illinois teachers union is pushing to reverse a recent change, lowering the threshold for when local taxpayers would be on the hook for penalties for end-of-career salary spikes of public employees. The new state budget lowered the threshold of when school districts would have to pay extra for end-of-career salary spiking from 6 to 3%. The Illinois Education Association wants to reverse that with Senate Bill 3622 and highlights the bill is from a Republican senator. However, Republican State Representative Jeannie Ives said going back to 6% is the wrong direction. She wants all pensions for future employees shifted to the school districts.
You're never, ever going to correct all the games that can be played against taxpayers until the taxpayers have to fund it all at the local level. That's what has to happen over time, and you can do this in a reasonable way.
A recent Illinois Radio Network investigation found even when the threshold was at 6%, school districts still paid $23.8 million in penalties since 2014. Illinois' high SAT scores saved the state from a bottom-tier ranking in the latest school quality survey. Illinois comes in at 21st on Wallet Hub's school performance list, in large part because the state had the highest median SAT scores in the nation. However, Illinois ranked 29th in math and 30th in reading. The Wallet Hub survey ranked Illinois public schools 40th in the nation for public school safety. An Illinois man who worked as a spokesman for a darknet marketplace used for illegal online sales, scheduled to be sentenced in federal court in Atlanta today in Illinois. Ronald L. Wheeler III of Streamwood, Illinois, pleaded guilty in March to charges of conspiracy to commit access device fraud. Prosecutors say Wheeler began working as Alphabay's public relations specialist in May of 2015. They say he helped traffic and personal information, using it without authorization to obtain money, goods, and services. And beginning next year, lottery players will have a new game to play that'll help benefit the families of fallen police officers. Governor Bruce Rauner signed House Bill 5513 Monday to create the Police Memorial Instant Ticket. When made available January 1, net proceeds will go to the Criminal Justice Information Projects Fund to pay for, among other things, scholarships for children of fallen officers. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
And now, Ray Lytle.
Hello, Greg Bishop. It's Ray Lytle Morning Show.
Good morning, Raymond.
I forgot my phone again.
Oh, dude, what is wrong with you?
I don't know. I hadn't done it ever, and then I've done it now twice in the last couple of months.
Not even that, the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I don't know. I just left it somewhere in my house.
Need to have it, like, surgically attached somehow.
So if anybody's trying to get a hold of me, so I know some people comment, they send me text and stuff. Yeah, it's not going to work today. You're going to have to send me Facebook message. I have Facebook.
Or just, hey, call in.
Well, yeah, call in. But I'm talking. Usually, it's stuff that people don't want on the air.
Oh, I got you.
I got a lot of. You know how I say,
off record stuff.
When I say things like, "Oh, I've been told," it's usually someone telling me right then. So. Oh, someone once told me. That means someone sent me a text.
Right, just now.
Yeah, usually happens within, you know. Anyway, we are here. It is the Ray Lytle Morning Show. You can call in whenever you want, 629-7970. Or you can text us. The Ray Lytle Morning Show Message Mafia. I will see these texts. You send Lytle, L-Y-T-L-E, space, and whatever you want in the message part. And then the number is 68255. All right? That's how you get hold of us. That's simple. And we could talk about, and so now we talk about anything. What's the biggest story? What's the biggest story going on?
I would probably,
is the president tweeting this morning already? Another tweet storm?
Well, we're still cleaning up from his most recent tweet storm, right? we have the issue with the government shutdown possibility. The president saying that he's willing to shut the government down to get immigration
who would
reform.
Who would be willing to shut the government down? Don't say that. That's wrong. Don't do that.
It depends on who you ask.
You think they're? You want the government shut down?
No, I didn't say that. Yeah. I'm just saying there's people out there that are fine with a government shutdown, including the president, apparently. So he's wanting immigration reform to be passed before the November midterm. You've got budget deadlines coming up. There's talk about possibly putting in a temporary budget, like a stopgap type budget.
Oh, another one of those.
Republicans.
Wasn't that basically the most of the Obama presidency?
Was stopgap.
No, not budgets, but deficit. Remember, they would have to raise the.
The level, right.
It hasn't been a problem. They have no problem raising it under President Trump.
So the Republicans in the leadership in Congress, they're like, whoa, wait a second. No, we can't have a shutdown threat before the election. That would look bad because the Republicans control the House and the Senate. So it would be like on them. But then you also have the president talking about wanting to meet with Iran. Yesterday when he met with the...
I saw that. He said that he goes, I'd meet with him.
Yeah,
all he had to do was ask.
When he met with the Italian prime minister, which apparently the two are ideological similar when it comes to immigration and whatnot, he was asked about his tweets concerning Iran. He said, hey, we're willing to meet. I'll meet with anybody, anytime, anywhere. Let's meet. It's good for the world. It's good for the country.
He said he'd meet without any preconceived...
Any conditions, so to speak. Yeah. But, of course, that's going to be up to... That's going to be up to Mike Pompeo,
the
Secretary
like
of State,
because
he's going to have to go and lay the groundwork,
which
is, you know, kind of his job as Secretary of State. So you've got that in the mix as well. When it comes to state news, bills are flying on the governor's desk. He's got hundreds of bills that are stacking up on his desk, and he's got to determine.
Why the hell doesn't he start signing? Why didn't he sign them into law?
Well, you got to understand, when you get 600 pieces of legislation that lawmakers passed within a span of a couple of months. They have 30 days to send those to the governor, and then the governor has 60 days to act.
Good Lord.
Because these bills are hundreds of pages long. They're changing this part of the law. They're changing
law. I could fix this in a week.
Okay.
First things first. If it has a veto-proof majority,
right,
just sign them.
Well, he didn't do that with one in particular.
Have your staff read them and say which ones have veto-proof majorities. Put those on this side of the desk.
Yeah.
And I'm going to sign those immediately. Let's get them out. Because there's nothing, even if I didn't sign it, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
They're going to, you know, it's going to pass.
Well, he did veto a bill that did get veto-proof majorities, from what I understand, and that deals with jailhouse testimony for certain crimes. So if somebody's in jail and they want to testify against somebody else for a lesser sentence on themselves, the Innocence Project, the group that fights for people who claim they're innocent but were proven guilty, they said this bill is the right bill because it limits the ability for jailhouse testimony to be considered in trials.
Right.
Or at least allows for better defense against
It keeps the testimony to not be made up from someone.
Right. That's looking to get lenient.
Yeah.
So you've got the governor vetoing that. He had his rationale. I think he wanted to target it towards, like, capital cases, for instance. But the Innocence Project says that he should have signed it, but he didn't. In other national news, you've got $100 million lawsuit being filed against the duck boat operators.
Oh, yeah, I saw that coming.
So 17 people died in that duck boat accident. Just a horrifying
incident. We need to figure out whose decision it was to run. I mean, that weather was horrible. That boat should have never, ever been in that lake.
Well,
ever.
The law firm that's behind the $100 million lawsuit was successful in another duck boat death incident where they got $17 million. And they say that these things are death traps. The operators knew they were death traps. They should have never been operating them.
You know, so they should sue the Osmonds. Make the Osmonds pay that $100 million.
It'll be interesting to see how far that case goes. And then also you've got just the continued devastation from wildfires over in California. It's a rough patch over there. And you look at the pictures, you look at the video, you hear the comments from those affected by it. You had law enforcement and firefighters that were out evacuating people.
I know. It sounds and looks horrible.
Evacuating people and fighting the fire, and then they go home to find out that their house is gone. So this is impacting a lot of people over in California.
It happens every year. You wonder why they build those houses so close to the, to the wildlife, the wild brush or whatever they have out there. And I don't get it. I mean, the climate's getting worse.
I don't know if it's getting worse.
It's getting hotter. Greg, you cannot deny it's getting hotter. I'm not saying what's the cause of it. God forbid someone use science, but I'm not telling you it's global blah, blah, blah.
Well,
it's getting hotter.
But I don't know if that's the reason why we're seeing increased wildfires.
Sure,
I don't even know if we're seeing
it. I can tell you what it is. It's a lack of humidity.
Sure.
And it's dry heat, and it's causing the brush to catch fire, and it's going wild. That's what causes wildfires.
And I don't have the statistics in front of me to say whether or not we have increased wildfire activity. But regardless, it's a big problem.
I can tell you that the relative humidity in the air has dropped considerably.
Sure, yeah.
In California. And, by the way, Arizona, too. Arizona's lucky they haven't gotten
it. I think Colorado's had some wildfires
recently as
well.
Yeah. Relative humidity is dropping in that part of the country.
Well, we're not seeing relative humidity dropping.
Relative humidity is high here. That's why there's such a mold problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, well, recently we've had a good fair amount of humidity.
You want relative humidity? Go check a crawl space.
Yeah. And by the way, this Saturday in Springfield, there will be marchers with torches for a Twilight Parade.
Oh, for God's sake. Okay.
It's part of a bicentennial event.
Glass. I thought it was a KKK.
No,
what was going on.
Gosh, no. It's the Wide Awake March, and it's a reenactment of a march that happened back when Abraham Lincoln was in this area. So it's going to be a reenactment of a Twilight March Saturday. Actually, pretty cool stuff. Plan on being down there to see something that you probably wouldn't see in downtown Springfield.
Bunch of people with torches.
Bunch of people marching in historic garb and
demanding the Frankenstein monster stop.
Yeah, so that's just a smattering, Ray, of all that's happening.
Well, let's take a call and see what our listeners think. What's on the top of their minds? Good morning. You are on the Ray Lytle Morning Show.
Come in, Ray.
You left out
Les. What about Les?
Oh yeah, Les
Moonves.
Les
Moonves update, Ray.
They are bringing in. Listen,
they got lawyers out the wazoo. Investigators.
They're looking for a reason. They're looking for reasons to fire him now.
Oh, yeah.
They're bringing in some kind of special investigator.
Yep. Oh, sure they are.
To
sure
go are. Over all of the evidence,
allegations.
That tells me. You want to know what that tells me? That tells me they're trying to talk Les Moonves into
getting out.
Yeah, they're trying to talk him into resigning
before
they have to fire him because they don't want to go through the lawsuit of firing him.
Not only that, they canceled the board of directors meeting that was scheduled for next month.
Jeez.
They canceled that because that's when the shareholders can come in and say, man, who is this pervert you got running this outfit? They canceled that meeting. Now, you know who his wife is, Ray?
Julie Chen.
Julie Chen, and they got some kind of show called The Chew or The View or The Talk. You can't keep them all straight, but it's a bunch of old biddies that talk about everything except when they ask Julie Chen about her pervert husband.
She shut her
mouth with a snap. She didn't want to talk about it, Ray.
She stood up for
But they
want
to talk about you, me, the Republicans. But when it's
hope that when you are accused of sexual harassment, I can't believe it's already happened. I can't believe it hasn't happened already.
What?
I hope that your wife would stand up for you, Tom.
She didn't want to say one word, but she talks about everything, Ray, except her pervert husband. That shut her up.
No, Tom, so she did talk about it. She talked about it. She defended him.
She said she issued a Twitter deal and she's never talking about it again. And I thought, that's not talking. They talk about everything on that show to
the fifth degree. Don't you think it's embarrassing when your husband is accused of doing that?
If she's a talk show host, she's got an obligation
to talk about what's
in the news. And her
you're saying if my wife does something terrible that I don't know about, and it is somehow revealed, and I would have to go through the embarrassment and stigma, I have to talk about it.
If your whole ransom d'etre was to talk about women and believe them and the Me Too movement, and yet her husband is accused by credible women, over a dozen of them, she doesn't want to talk about it. And I thought, boy, you talk about the height of hypocrisy when it's them, when it's their little fish in the barrel.
So you're saying even though she didn't do anything wrong, but you're saying she also has to be embarrassed and dragged through the mud.
Man. I'm sure that she knew about his philandering ways and covered it up. She enabled him to molest and abuse these women. She was in on it, right?
She did address this yesterday.
She
did address this yesterday.
And she stood up for him.
All right, here we go. She addressed this yesterday.
Here we go, Tom. We're going to play the facts now.
Here it is on the show. All right, you ready for this?
Yeah. Now, some of you may be aware of what's been going on in my life for the last few days.
Yes.
I issued the one and only statement I will ever make on this topic on Twitter. And I will stand by that statement today, tomorrow, forever.
Yeah. Until it's
delicious. Okay. Long live Steve. It's always a pleasure, Ray.
So goodbye.
So she didn't really address it on the show, but her Twitter says, I know my husband, Leslie Moonves, since the late 90s, and I've been married to him for almost 14 years. Leslie is a good man and a loving father, devoted husband, and inspiring corporate leader. He's always been a kind, decent, and moral human being. Mm. I fully support my husband and stand behind him and his statement. And the one and only statement that Julie Chen says she will stand by today, tomorrow, and forever.
What if it's proven that he did it?
No, buddy.
I'm gonna stand by that.
I don't know how you can go back on.
Some of you may be aware of what's been going on in my life for the last few days.
I issued the one and only statement
I will ever make on this topic on Twitter. And I will stand by that statement today, tomorrow, forever.
And then she feels sorry for her, man. Then she mimed zipping her lip.
Yeah.
No, I'm just joking.
But don't you feel sorry for her? She didn't do anything. She's not even accused of doing anything.
Right.
But somehow people are going to call her out.
Yeah, they're going to...
She did nothing.
They're going to claim that she's defending a harasser and so on, yeah. Not a fun position to be in.
It's crazy. It's like people who attack Melania Trump or Michelle Obama because you don't like their husband. Yeah. It doesn't work that way, man.
I tell you what, if I was both of them, I'd just wash your hands of it. You know, get out of the public light.
Yeah.
You've got plenty of money. Go retire in some, you know, 5-acre plot down in Kentucky. You got the money to afford it.
You're saying when you're shamed, you have to move to Kentucky.
Well, I'm just saying, you got cheap land down there. They could take their millions of dollars and live for the rest of their lives.
I don't know if Kentucky's the place I'd want to go. But
hey, I know plenty of people who bought land in Kentucky and they're happy.
They can stay there. I'm sure that marriage will have, if this is proven true, then that marriage is, come on.
It's done. It's toast.
Come on.
No way.
And so she's got
to. Would you expect your wife to stick by you if you were found to be,
hell no.
Harassing people like that?
Of course not.
I wouldn't expect my wife to.
I don't harass. I've never harassed anyone in my life. I've been married too long. I'm too much of a wimp. I have
too much respect for women.
Honest to God, I have had someone tell me horrible news about something horrible happening to them. And people are feeling so bad for them. And I go, oh, my God, can I hug you? And I have to ask because I'm afraid. And it just ruins everything. You know what I mean? You shouldn't have to ask anyone, can I hug you?
Right.
But I'm such a, I ruined the moment. People telling me their family members have died. Oh, can I hug you? Now they're just creeped out. I could have consoled someone. Greg, I could have consoled people, made them feel better. Instead, I had to weird out the whole room.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. Anyway, I think that if he's found guilty, she'll be embarrassed. And I'm sure that she'll divorce him and, you know, and have to live with... By the way, she's attractive, that Julie Chen.
Stop harassing her, Ray.
I'm not harassing her at all. I mean, you've seen her. She's a good-looking
woman.
Stop
objectifying her, Ray.
I don't think that if she's... I don't see it ending horribly for her. You know what I mean? Even if she goes off and does it. But however... if this, the new guy comes in, they're gonna leave her in charge of this talk show.
That's a great question.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is she gonna? What? How's it gonna affect her job and her career?
Are her days numbered just like his?
All because of association.
Yeah.
Good Lord, that'd be like if you did something like robbed a bank or did something horrible, and they hold me responsible for it. Well, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sometimes supposed, it's just terrible how that goes on.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, it's been an endless summer of wildfires in Northern California. Twin wildfires that already burned through some 107 square miles of at least 7 homes threaten another 10,000 homes, straddling various areas in California. About 100 miles north, another wildfire has burned more than 800 homes and killed 6 people. Fire officials say it's become the 9th most destructive wildfire in California history. Meanwhile, prosecutors have lined up 35 witnesses and more than 500 pieces of evidence in the federal trial of Donald Trump's former campaign chairman, Paul Manafort, who's accused of tax evasion and bank fraud. The trial will center on Manafort's Ukrainian consulting work and only briefly touch on his involvement with the president's campaign. Jury selection begins today in Alexandria, Virginia. Meanwhile, President Donald Trump signs legislation at the White House and then hits the road for events. ABC's Karen Travers is at the White House with the latest.
President Trump today will sign the Perkins Career and Technical Education Act, which increases federal funding for a workforce development program by up to $1.3 billion a year. The legislation was championed by his daughter and senior advisor Ivanka Trump, who last week called it transformative and said it would help 11 million students and workers across the nation get the technical skills they need to compete in a changing economy. The bill aims to close a skills gap by helping students get on-the-job training for fields that are short on skilled workers. Karen Travers, ABC News, the White House.
Groundbreaking for the Obama Presidential Center in Chicago will be delayed until next year because of a delay in the federal review process. Construction on former President Barack Obama's center was to start this year. However, the Obama Foundation says it now plans to break ground for the $500 million project sometime in 2019. Before the presidential center can be built, the federal government will review its impact on the Jackson Park neighborhood of Chicago. A new report pins the blame of Illinois' high property taxes on the growing price tag of public employee pension costs. WMAY's Cole Otterbach has more.
The Illinois Policy Institute's report on property taxes compares 2016 tax levels with what a home was taxed 20 years earlier. They find the cost of property taxes has risen much faster than the values of homes being taxed. Chief economist Orfi Davungi says it's because more money is going to pay off retirement costs for public employees than is going towards the actual services.
We're paying for things that are not delivering better neighborhoods, that are not delivering more services.
He says this has caused a disproportionate property tax bill that has put the hurt on taxpayer checkbooks across Illinois.
Homeowners in the private sector are forced to dip into their family budgets, and they put off retirement because of the rising burden of property tax bills.
Illinois has paid an average of 2.2% of their home's value to property taxes in 2016 alone. I'm Cole Lauterbach.
The Illinois Department of Public Health says the number of cases of hepatitis C are increasing, and it corresponds with the opioid epidemic. In a news release, the department said over 11 years, the number of cases increased by 43%, with many of the cases involving people 35 years or younger linked to injection drug use. And a Twilight Parade is going to be happening Saturday night in Springfield. But it's not the Twilight Parade you're thinking of. A reenactment of the 1860 parade to support Abraham Lincoln's presidential candidacy will be held Saturday night starting at 7. The parade route will begin at Lincoln's home on South 8th Street and proceed to the old state capitol state historic site at 6th and Adams. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
629-7970. That's the CT Adams Pest Control Listener Contact Line, 629-7970. You also can text us whenever you like. Text Lytle space and your message over to 68255 and talk about what hair you like. For example, Ray, I'm definitely not advocating for this, to be clear, but I am surprised more terrorists haven't started wildfires out west to cause havoc. Oh, my God. What a horrible thought that is. It's a horrible thought.
Yeah, I don't see... Terrorism is defined as violence to sway politics. That's like the definition of terrorism.
It's violence. It's to create fear.
Fear for political purposes. Now, wildfires are chaotic. They are definitely something that's you're gonna have a lot of logistic problems with. Obviously, lives can be lost, as we've seen in California. I'm sure that's a concern. I would be more concerned about just the random crazy arsonist, you know, that has no political bent whatsoever and is just looking to, you know, start problems. That would be my main concern. And we've seen that in the past before as well. Or we've also seen it to where it's somebody's car is a piece of garbage and shooting sparks out the tailpipe, and that causes fires. Got ignoramuses flicking their cigarette butts out into, you know, wild brush, and that causes fires.
We've got people out there not realizing that only you can prevent forest fires.
Smokey the Bear is just working overtime right now, trying to tell people to quit being idiots.
They don't listen. All right, here's another one. I'm not sure where this is coming from. It's just out of the blue. Ray, we need immigration reform now! Statics show illegals... statistics. Cost taxpayers $193 billion a year in welfare and other resources. I didn't know we're giving all this welfare to illegals. No idea. Shut down the government! ! Any high information person knows the Fed government never totally shuts down, and state government always does if Fed government shuts down anyway. I have no idea what they're trying to say.
Well, I've got another statement here on the shutdown. It says, shut the SOB down. It was just shut down for 2 days. It's called the weekend. only non-essential don't show up and get paid later. 87% of federal employees continue to work. You have to be a dupe for the liberal propaganda that it will hurt.
I guess I'm just a dupe because I think shutting down the government would be bad.
Social Security continues to get paid. Shut it down until the rhinos and Dems agree to the wall.
Yeah. Why, I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to have a conversation. Ray, why are we so concerned about 3D printed guns? Are we? Well, listen, I don't know who has 3D printers. I don't know who has access to 3D printers.
Buy one for $500. You can buy a milling machine, which is this company, Defense Distributed, that's behind this whole 3D gun situation. They sell these milling machines for like $500, and then you just plug it into a computer and you can buy an 80% completed lower receiver for an AR-15, for instance. It's metal, and since it's only 80% complete, you can buy them online, and then you go and buy it. It's just that little, you know, where the round goes in and is fired from,
and then you use 3D printer to make
the
rest.
You use the 3D miller to mill out the rest to make it 100%, and then you just assemble other pieces.
I don't know who would want to spend all that money on a 3D printer. It's cheaper to just buy the damn gun.
If you buy a printer.
Oh, so you're thinking of getting this.
Yeah, I've looked at it.
I've looked at it. Absolutely.
You would like to have a 3D printed gun.
Yeah, I would.
For novelty or because you think that's the way to go?
That's my Second Amendment right.
I'm just asking you, would you do it because it's you think it'd just be cool to have one, or are you actually...
I think it would be neat to be able to do it. And again, it's also exercising my Second Amendment
right. You can exercise your right by going to Walmart and buying a, sure. Buying one.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, absolutely. And from what I understand, federal law allows you to make firearms for yourself. Uh-huh. You can make firearms for yourself, from what I understand. You just can't go out and sell
that firearm
to somebody else.
If I don't have a FOID card,
right,
and I'm not whatever, you know, the whole, and I'm not, I haven't had a concealed carry or any of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I just decide I'm going to 3D print myself a gun and walk around with it.
Police may arrest you for being in violation of the Firearms Owner Identification Act, which requires you to have a FOID card in Illinois. But if you were in another state like Kentucky, I'm sure that you could.
I'm glad I'm not in Kentucky, I'll tell you. I don't even know what you're going to say. Let me just preface this by saying, I'm glad I'm not in Kentucky.
Oh, there's plenty of people that are from Kentucky.
I have had opportunities to work in Kentucky, and I am still in Illinois.
Kentucky.
And proud to be from the state of Illinois.
Kentucky.
Even Lincoln left Kentucky.
Yeah.
Good morning. You're on WMAY.
Well, you know, you guys are talking about something that's about 10 years old, the technology.
Yeah. It is. It is.
You and this battles CDs and you know be able to load it down to your own mill.
This
have that for sale at any gun show.
And this battle has been going on for quite some time. This idea of 3D printed guns, and it's been going on for probably about 10 years now.
Well, I mean, you know, it used to be that an AR-15 used to cost $1,500. Now they're around $450. Well, you can go get a receiver. I've seen them in boxes.
Oh, you love talking guns, man! Yeah. I'll tell you.
You can go get it.
Hours talking about different guns and models. And
how much are lower receivers?
Well, you know, you get a lower receiver for about $58.
How much?
About $58.
I'll tell you who doesn't like all this talk: the gun manufacturers.
Well, they still got to make the barrels and the sheaths
so they'll still get some money.
Understand? You can go to a gun show and you can go to, like, a table and pick out the parts you want for your gun, right, especially an AR-15.
And you just assemble it. I mean, you can buy the parts for the AR-15 online. You can buy the barrel, you can buy the stock, you can buy the grips, the sheath.
Well, I mean, if you go to a gun show, you don't have to wait or have a FOID card to buy the barrel or the stock. Or the only thing you have to have is, I guess, for the inner parts of the receiver. It's all assembled. Yeah. Most of it. You can just get the parts, and hell, it'll make it really nice right there for you.
What's going to stop bad if there's any? Maybe there's bad people out there who are wanting to get some.
There's already bad people out there getting.
I'm just saying. I'm saying
there's always going to be bad people out there.
Yeah. There's always been what?
There's always going to be bad people out there. There's always going to be some nut out there. There's nothing we can do about that.
So,
the thing about it is, I don't understand why anybody would want a plastic gun anyway.
Well, it's not a plastic. I mean, they do have what they called.
Well, you're all bought in on. Look at you,
I bought the guy's book, Cody Wilson.
I should have known.
Defense Distributed. I gave the book to my dad.
I should have known.
there's a philosophical.
The police cannot like this.
There's a philosophical argument behind what Cody Wilson of Defense Distributed is doing. It's a Second Amendment argument, but it's also a First Amendment argument, because what's ultimately happening here is he made blueprints, like, you know, computer-assisted design, CAD blueprints that they use to design buildings. He instead used that program to put in the plans for a lower receiver AR-15. To where you then plug that into the milling machine and it just finishes it off for you. He says it's a Second Amendment issue, but it's also a First Amendment issue because the 3D blueprints are online. And the government under the Obama administration was trying to go after him through the State Department, saying you can't do this. This violates Weapons Acts. You can't transmit this information to Qatar, for instance, or, you know, Africa, for instance. So they tried blocking him, but a recent court ruling said, you know what, you can't block this. And Cody Wilson says this is a victory not just for the Second Amendment, but also for the First Amendment free speech.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. Obama hasn't been the best thing for the gun manufacturers and people that wanted to make guns. as there was, because every time he opened up his yap about gun control, those damn things would fly off the table.
Mm. Yeah. But I don't know. I just don't understand why anybody would want to 3D print a gun. I just don't get it.
The plastic one,
I just don't get it.
It's cheap. It's a third the price.
Yeah.
The plastic one that they did print was a handgun, and it only shot one round.
I just don't get it. Why wouldn't you just go buy a gun?
You can.
If I wanted a pistol, I would buy one.
You sure it wasn't squirting out water?
You said the plastic gun.
Yeah. Thank you, buddy. Yeah. I don't understand why you would go through all this trouble to print a gun when you literally can go to, I mean, good Lord, every other pawn shop, every Walmart, every Shields, you can go buy a gun very easily anywhere.
Sure.
There's nowhere in the country you can't just walk in and buy one. There's no cities that ban it or states that ban it.
You watched the Netflix original remake of Lost in Space, right?
Yeah,
I loved
it.
They had a 3D printed gun scenario in there.
I loved it. Yeah.
Yeah, where the dad was trying to bypass the sensors.
Yeah.
To get his gun printed because.
And what happened?
It ended up,
Dr. Smith got the gun.
Don't ruin it for people. Don't ruin it for people.
Nothing good came from it, Greg. That's my point.
Well, he didn't get to print the gun. Dr. Smith ultimately printed the gun.
Nothing good will come from this.
I think you're wrong there.
I think it
strengthens the First and Second Amendments.
So someone's going to be breaking into your house and you're going to go print a gun.
No. I think this.
No, it's more likely. It's more likely. That some scumbag from blah blah blahistan is gonna print a gun and try to cause some havoc.
I think that's more likely. Blah blah blahistan.
Good morning. You're on WBY.
Ray, I'm not sure how that whole printing thing works, but I would assume that over time you could make multiple guns with your.
Right.
3D printer, and you would save money on going purchasing the gun, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, if the printer's $500 or so,
I'm very pro Second Amendment, as Greg will tell you, but I don't understand owning, you know, massive amounts of guns. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, could you not make different types of guns with the printer?
I don't know why you'd.
Right now, all I've seen is the plans for the plastic gun. Again, not very a good gun to make and to use. But they also have plans for a lower receiver of an AR-15. They hope, and they're in the process, Defense Distributed is, of mapping out all kinds of guns, from handguns to other types of rifles.
What stops that from. I mean, I'm just going to go from the business perspective. Mm-hmm. Why not map out other copyright protected materials? Why should you, if Remington.
There's definitely an argument there.
Has designed a gun.
Yeah.
That is their
it's
property.
Their patent.
And it's their patent.
Yeah.
Their copyright. And they retain the right to sell this gun to you that they make.
I think you're going to see a
and
Napster
situation. And now they're basically putting out the plans.
Yeah.
And
you're going to see a Napster situation when it comes to 3D printing.
Yeah, what's going to stop people from taking, Hyundai has a great Santa Fe. We're going to put out the plans to where you can make it at your house and bypass them
And that's a legitimate argument.
I think that's something that they need to look at.
That's a legitimate argument and something we'll probably see play out in the courts.
It's guns now, but what happens when it's cars or when it's furniture? I'm just looking around and...
Absolutely.
There are copyright, patented, protected things that we have laws to protect.
And maybe gun manufacturers will get smart and sell their plans online and say, here's a legitimate plan for a Remington 9mm or whatever it might be. So,
I think they should fight this like crazy. You want to keep the money from your customer base. Why would you want to give away your product for free?
Well,
that just makes no sense.
What a gun manufacturer could do is manufacture, like for instance, the unfinished lower end of a AR-15, and sell plans to finish it. So they'd sell the receiver, they'd sell the plans to finish it, they could sell the milling machines, so people can make their own firearms.
Makes no sense.
For their Second Amendment
really,
right.
It just makes no sense. I have a First Amendment right, but does that give me the right to steal from other, to steal from companies?
No.
I don't understand why this one does.
Well, I don't know if this guy, Defense Attributed, is being accused of stealing plans. I mean,
maybe they're making their own plans.
They're developing these things themselves. So, and I would imagine it's going to get even more sophisticated the better the technology gets.
I would be looking at suing them for using my patented ideas.
I think it's revolutionary. I think it's.
I'm sure you do.
It's fascinating.
I would never own a plastic gun.
No, neither would I.
Ridiculous. I would just like every other citizen, I just go buy a gun.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, all the rain we got Sunday and overnight Monday turned out to be a record for July 30th, and the fourth highest 48-hour rain total in the last 30 years. Springfield picked up 4.72 inches of rain over a 48-hour period that ended late last night. If the pipe attached to your home's water meter breaks in Springfield, you may be on the hook for thousands of dollars, even if it's 500 feet from your house. That's the word from City Water, Light, and Power and Ward 5 Alderman Andrew Proctor, who thinks the city and the utility need to look into ways to help homeowners deal with broken pipes. Two Springfield men find themselves in hot water this morning after being arrested on drug and weapons charges. 29-year-old Marcus Brown and 20-year-old Graylin Brown are in the Sangamon County Jail after police reported finding marijuana, ecstasy pills, a defaced gun, and other items in their apartment. A state representative says a measure pushed for by the Illinois Teachers Union and sponsored by two Republican senators is pure election year politics. Senate Bill 3622 would take the threshold for when local school districts must pick up pension costs for end-of-career salary spikes from 3 to 6%. The threshold was lowered from 6 to 3% with the new budget this year. SB 3622 has the support of the Illinois Education Association and of state senators Dale Fowler and Neil Anderson, both Republicans running for re-election. State Representative Jeannie Ives said the measure is pure politics.
And so these folks putting in an IEA-backed legislation to increase pension costs for taxpayers is crazy.
Messages seeking comment from Anderson and Fowler were not returned. The recent Illinois Radio Network investigation found even when the threshold was at 6%, school districts still paid $23.8 million in penalties since 2014. A small business advocate says a measure on the governor's desk would be the last thing small businesses in Illinois needs, more regulations. State Representative Will Gazzardi said there's a problem with state law.
Most small businesses around the state of Illinois, it is perfectly legal to discriminate against your employees on the basis of age or gender or disability status or religion.
Gazzardi said House Bill 4572 would include employers of 15 or fewer in the jurisdiction of the Human Rights Commission. National Federation of Independent Business Illinois State Director Mark Grant said this would hinder small businesses.
It's going to be one more thing that Illinois businesses have to deal with from a state that likes to put in a lot of regulations and laws that make it harder for them to stay in business.
NFIB and the Illinois Chamber of Commerce urged the governor to veto the measure. Gazzardi said if that happens, he'd get lame duck Republicans to vote for an override. A federal judge has handed a 38-year-old man a 19-year prison sentence for two bank robberies in southern Illinois. Prosecutors say Marcus J. Thornton of Edwardsville entered a bank in Lebanon on October 13, 2016, demanded money and made off with more than $13,000. They say he wielded a semi-automatic handgun in a February 9, 2017 bank robbery in O'Fallon, fleeing with around $10,000. Both communities are just east of St. Louis. Thornton earlier pleaded guilty in the case. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
All right, I've got the biggest product flops of all time. However, our president just had another tweet binge I wanted to share, Greg. I got to share it with you. All right. First, though, Message Mafia text. First Message Mafia text. Ray, let Greg know that listeners are glad that he definitely spelled wrong. He definitely brings a neutral, highly informative, and intelligent side to every subject or controversy subject on your show. Fans so very much appreciate him being on with you.
Is that, does your mother, is that sarcastic?
Does your mother have our text line? What is going on? I don't know, but the misspell. I think people who love the show are wonderful.
Mm.
But just seems the Greg fans are not as good as spellers. That's all I'm saying. The Greg fans don't spell as good.
Hey, they're still taxpaying Americans.
They're putting A's indefinitely. That's all I'm saying.
They're still taxpaying Americans.
God bless them all. God bless them all. By the way, now on to the tweets. I want you to pay attention to one of these tweets.
President's tweets?
You might be in violation of our leader's tweets, Greg. Here's his tweets. He sounds more like Larry King every day. President Trump's tweets. Rush Limbaugh's a great guy who truly gets it. That's one tweet. Here's another one. Collusion is not a crime. That doesn't matter because there was no collusion except by crooked Hillary and the Democrats. Why are you telling us collusion's not a crime? Oh, man. You just look guilty when you say stuff like that. I mean, why would you tweet that, Greg?
Because I don't think there is, at least from what I've seen.
I know, but why tweet it? You don't need to tweet the collusion's not a crime.
What I've seen in analysis, especially with Giuliani making the rounds over the weekend and
Giuliani is an idiot.
He's come out and said this now, that collusion's not a crime, and some legal analysts are saying this is a bit of a flip of what the previous statements have been.
They're almost coming out and admitting that, yeah, I did it, so what?
Well, the line was like a big fat liar.
It really does.
The line has been no. There's no collusion. There was no collusion. There was no collusion. And now Giuliani over the weekend saying
we colluded, but it's not. Well, a crime.
He didn't say it, that.
Oh no, he's saying if we colluded,
he didn't say that either.
It's not
a crime. He said something to the effect of, "I've been poring over the legal books and I can't find collusion anywhere in the criminal code."
Now the president himself is saying it.
Yeah.
And last but not least, you might want to pay attention to this, Mister. I'm looking into 3D plastic guns being sold to the public. I already spoke to the NRA. Doesn't seem to make much sense. So he's not in favor of these 3D printed guns. President is not in favor, Greg.
We'll see what the courts have to say, because they've already pretty much said, man.
I thought it was his administration that was allowing this.
Well, yeah, because under the Obama administration, the State Department was going after it, but now the State Department is looking into it.
He's changing his mind on that. I can tell you right now, he's ramping up to be against it. Good morning. You're on WBY.
Morning, guys.
Hey. Yeah, good morning, Tim.
Hey. Giuliani, is this guy actually still an attorney?
When I watched him, here's what I was thinking. I was going, is he representing Trump?
Right.
Because, boy, I'll tell you, he's not doing a very good job. I was watching Giuliani, and the whole, like, four or five times in the interview, I went, oh, my God, he's guilty. I mean, he's not putting a sense of confidence in anybody's mind. Am I wrong?
Depends on who you ask.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm asking you.
I think the whole thing's a circus.
Good morning. You're on WBY.
I wonder if Trump realizes how much cannon fodder he's giving the next presidential candidate.
Yeah, I don't. Listen, here's one thing. I had this conversation yesterday with someone. It seems that it would be beating Trump in the next presidential election should be easy, but look who you're dealing with, the Democrats. If anybody can,
Foot.
I don't want to paint with a wide brush, but my God, anybody who could screw up a one-car funeral.
Yeah, and Trump's got more money than.
Well, it's not even money. It's just.
I think
it doesn't matter. Listen, there was a wave. Thanks for the call. There was a wave last time for Bernie Sanders and all this stuff,
yeah.
And then they rigged it for Clinton. And look, it blew up in their face.
They colluded.
Yes,
they colluded with the media and the Clinton campaign.
Well, I don't know about that. They colluded.
No, that's what it was. That's what happened.
I mean,
the Democratic National Committee colluded with the Clinton campaign to give Clinton
it's not the media
nomination. You don't think CNN Donna Brazile handed over questions to Hillary Clinton? That didn't happen.
She was part of the Clinton administration. She was part of the Clinton election afterwards, team.
After handing over questions.
No, I don't think that's the whole. No, I disagree with that. I don't think it's the whole media. That's wrong.
Well, they were still
because I'm in the media and I didn't collude with anybody.
Well, one meeting with a Russian attorney with Don Jr. doesn't equal collusion
right,
either.
Right. There's not nobody's saying they colluded with the entire country of Russia. No one's saying that.
But my point is the Democrats have a lot of mending to do within their party because of what happened in the 2016 election.
If anyone can screw it up, don't put it past the Democrats because they don't have their ducks in a row. They really don't.
And they're pretty much divided now with this whole Democratic socialist wing getting, crazy radical with free everything for everybody. What about taxes?
I don't think that every bit of socialism is wrong. I think there are tenets of socialism that make sense. I also think there are that most of capitalism makes sense. There was a Lytle that worked with Adam Smith when he created socialism or when he created capitalism. I mean, I just think the Democrats will screw it up. Or I'm not confident that they won't. Let me put it that way. I'm not confident they won't screw it up.
When you've got Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer as your go-tos.
They should not be in charge. They really. I've never been a Nancy Pelosi fan. I just think.
She's still there.
Yeah. And she's defiantly not going.
She's the Mike Madigan of.
She's 174 years old, everyone. Yeah,
she's the Mike Madigan of National Democrats.
She's still in charge and saying, we're the hip new young party. Good morning. You're on. All right. Well, you're not. All right. I wanted to do this before I saw the tweets, but I saw the tweets, and especially since it seems that he's changing his mind on the 3D printed guns, I wanted to get that out there. All right. Let me. I want to take a break. Then I want to come back, Greg, and I want to give you some of these. I've got the biggest flops of all time, and let me give you a couple of them. The Arch Deluxe. At McDonald's, 1996.
Oh, I remember when that came out.
I thought that was good.
That was back in the day when I was eating fast food, and I remember it being a different, unique.
One side was cold. The other side was hot.
The Arch Deluxe.
The Sega Dreamcast in 1999. I actually had one of those. I liked them.
I rented one, and what was that, Crazy Taxi?
I had that game. Yeah. I got sick.
Great game.
But it was a great game.
Yeah.
Heinz Easy Squirt Blue Ketchup came out in 2000.
Why?
It flopped. They changed the color of ketchup.
Why?
I don't know.
Why would they do that?
It flopped miserably.
Horrible idea.
Friendster.
Was that like...
It could have been Facebook.
It's like a social media?
Came out in 2002.
Friendster.
And it flopped.
Yeah, I never joined Friendster.
Actually, MySpace sort of.
It's Friendster.com. The site's been blocked by network administrators.
Microsoft's Zune MP3 player. Remember that was supposed to be the next big thing? It flopped miserably.
Yeah.
HD DVDs in 2006.
Well, that was
Blu-ray ended up.
That was the battle between Blu-ray and HD DVD. And so Blu-ray ended up winning out.
Just like DivX and DVD. Nobody even remembers DivX.
Or
being DVD.
Beta and VHS. Yeah. VHS won out.
Google Plus in 2011.
Yeah, that's still lingering around, I think.
Lifesavers flavored soda failed miserably.
Huh.
1995. Harley Davidson perfume.
What?
Harley Davidson made a perfume in 1994.
What does it smell like? Motor oil?
I don't
know. Smoke?
No. But it
motor
flopped.
Oil and cigarette smoke?
It flopped miserably.
Bug guts?
Crystal Pepsi, 1992.
They need to bring that back.
Yeah.
Why did that flop? I remember that being pretty popular.
Betamax, as Greg mentioned earlier.
Yep.
And Laserdiscs, 1978. All right, I gave you those. I'm going to give you the top 10. What,
when was Laserdiscs?
1978.
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
I went to a guy, when I was in college, this guy invited us to his house to watch Laserdiscs.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. I'd like to go see, you know, because they were supposed to be so good. And I wanted to go see, you know, I thought it'd be Star Wars or Indiana Jones. I went there. The guy put in a porn.
What? A Laserdisc porno?
He invited a bunch of guys to his. This is a true story.
That's weird.
A guy invited a bunch
this
of.
This is weird.
A bunch of guys to his basement. All right. And he had like a pony keg or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this is
stag party.
This is in the mid 80s when this happened. This wasn't 1978. This is mid 80s. I'm like, oh, this is going to be so cool. I'm going to see like Star Wars.
Yeah, it's going to be crystal clear. Yeah, and the sound's going to be awesome.
The guy put in some type of pornography film.
Unbelievable.
And made everybody uncomfortable. I left after 10 minutes. I'm like, this is really, I'm really uncomfortable.
Your party's lame, dude. I'm out.
I made up an excuse and got the, and me and another guy, we got out of there.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Why would somebody do that?
I don't know what he would. Well, I mean, I could tell you off the air what was going on, I think, but there's a lot. I'll tell you off the air. There's a lot more to it, I think. But we left. That was there's my Laserdisc story. All right, I got the top 10 flops of all time. All right, Ray Lytle Morning Show, message Mafia text Greg. Greg supporters don't spell good, we spell well. Yeah, but you guys spell it with an H. All right, let's get to the top 10 product flops of all time. You ready for this? Number 10, Windows Vista. Remember that? The operating system came out in 2007.
Yeah.
It was the follow-up to XP. By the way, I like XP. I still have machines that run XP.
Yeah, I think that's a standard in a lot of businesses with a lot of equipment because it was such a functional operating system and easy to work on.
It did, yeah, and it's easy to fix. XP is still the best. I mean, now Windows 10's not bad, but
I don't know why Vista was a flop. I don't know why they have to get all fancy schmancy with their.
So people will buy a new.
I guess you're right. Know, it's little, planned obsolescence.
Yeah. I mean, Apple's made a living with it. You know, New Coke.
New Coke. What was that?
You probably don't remember.
I remember Crystal Pepsi. I don't remember
In
New Coke.
In 1985, Coke changed formulas.
Yeah, it was.
They did something called New Coke. They got rid of the Coke for, you know, Coke, what it tastes like? They got rid of that.
Like with the real sugar?
No, just the flavoring.
Oh.
They actually made a new product in 1985 called New Coke.
Hmm.
And they made, you know, Coke into Coke Classic. Hmm. They changed its recipe for the first time in 99 years. And they were all excited about it. It tasted more like Pepsi. Because I was around in 1985. I remember.
I was only 2 years old, dude.
I remember it. And it tasted like, I like New Coke. But it flopped miserably because people are familiar with. I mean, my mother put Coke in my bottle when I was a baby. Probably why I'm so obese. Thanks, Mom. People remembered it. And you took it away, they went crazy. Number 8, A Touch of Yogurt Shampoo by Clairol came out in 1979.
A Touch of Yogurt Shampoo?
It was
shampoo.
Called A Touch of Yogurt. They put yogurt in shampoo, and no one purchased it. And the ones who did, they thought they were supposed to eat it. It made them sick.
Dummy.
All right, number 7, Fox Television spent over $50 million on a show called Terra Nova in 2011. It was supposed to be the next big thing.
Terra Nova?
It failed miserably. Got canceled after 13 episodes.
What was it about?
It was about humans going to I think it's about humans going to another planet and trying to colonize or something. I don't know. Number 6, Cheetos Lip Balm.
What?
They made Cheetos in 2005. They made a lip balm that looked, tasted like Cheetos.
That's ridiculous.
It failed miserably.
That's ridiculous.
In 1988,
premier smokeless cigarettes.
How does that even work?
R.J. Reynolds sunk $1 billion into them and pulled them off the shelf in half a year.
Was that like the precursor to vaping or something?
They were like the first e-cigarettes.
Huh. It's bizarre.
Number four.
When was that?
That was in 1988. Mm. Good Lord. Number four. Burger King's Saddest Fries came out in 2013. They were supposed to be healthier than regular normal fries.
Oh yeah, no.
No one wanted healthy fries.
They don't go to fast food restaurants for healthy fries.
They failed miserably.
Why do you think horseshoes covered in cheese sauce is so popular? It's not healthy. We know it's not healthy. We still eat it.
Number three, the Atari game E.T. the Extraterrestrial. They made 4 million copies. They only sold 1 million.
Of what?
E.T. the Extraterrestrial is a video game that they made.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm familiar with that story. Yeah. Atari?
And they buried over 3 million games.
It's just such a horribly produced game.
At a landfill in New Mexico. And it was horrible. Number two, the Newton.
What, the Fig Newton?
Apple's digital notepad that they made in 1993. It failed miserably.
Like the first tablet?
It was not nearly. No.
Not even close.
No. And number one, Google Glass came out in 2013.
Yeah.
Well, Google Glass cost like $1,500. Who had $1,500?
Right.
Price was too high. They lost a ton of money.
Mm-hmm.
Google Glass.
Nobody wanted to walk around looking like an idiot.
And no one wanted to look like an imbecile. Failed miserably. So there you go. Top 10 product fails of all time.
Love it.
How about that? 7:33 is the time. Let's get some news. You're listening to the Ray Lytle Morning Show. Not on the big flops, thank God.
With news you can depend on, I'm Greg Bishop, News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. In the news, officials from U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, the Border Patrol, and other agencies will come before the Senate Judiciary Committee today to answer questions about the Trump administration's separation of migrant children from their families and its struggle to reunite them. But the hearing may have a wider focus. The committee's bipartisan leaders have asked federal investigators to probe reports of sexual or other abuse of immigrants at government detention facilities. On trial in Virginia federal court, former Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort. Jury selection getting underway in the first criminal trial stemming from special counsel Robert Mueller's Russia election meddling investigation. Manafort's accused of bank and tax fraud, allegedly laundering at least $60 million from work done for pro-Russian Ukrainians and living a lavish lifestyle. ABC News contributor Chris Christie, former New Jersey governor and former federal prosecutor, says that it looks like a strong case.
It's a paper case, we call it, in the business. It's not going to be a lot of live witnesses that you need in this case. This is going to be the paper trail that they follow to follow what Paul Manafort was doing with the money, tax issues.
Manafort faces trial, another one, in September on charges of money laundering and conspiracy against the U.S., involving allegations he was an unregistered foreign agent for Ukrainian interests. More of Illinois' high property taxes go to pay off the retirements of current and former employees than they do to actual services, according to a new report. WMAY's Cole Lauterbach has more.
The nonprofit Illinois Policy Institute says in their new report released Tuesday that the state's homeowners are getting pinched with some of the nation's highest property taxes, but they're not getting proportionately better services for the home's price tag. Chief Economist Orfi Davungi says the majority of those tax dollars are now going to pension costs.
Homeowners are paying more and more in property taxes every year, and they're not getting a bang for their buck. It's not fair.
The report says the cost of pensions, benefits, and debt service accounted for more than half of all property tax revenue in 2016. Illinois lawmakers passed education reform last year that will send an extra $350 million to schools, but Davungi says that's not much compared to the billions in pension debt the state's in.
Even if you've made a small adjustment in 2017, that's a drop in the bucket.
I'm Cole Lauterbach.
An Illinois teachers union is pushing to reverse a recent change lowering the threshold for when local taxpayers would have to pay a penalty for end-of-career salary spikes of government employees. The new state budget lowered that threshold of when school districts would have to pay extra for end-of-career salary spiking from 6% to 3%. The Illinois Education Association wants to reverse that with Senate Bill 3622 and highlights the bill is from a Republican senator. However, Republican State Representative Jeannie Ives said going back to 6% is the wrong direction. She wants all pensions for future employees shifted to the school district.
You're never, ever going to correct all the games that can be played against taxpayers until the taxpayers have to fund it all at the local level. That's what has to happen over time, and you can do this in a reasonable way.
A recent Illinois Radio Network investigation found even when the threshold was at 6%, school districts still paid $23.8 million in penalties since 2014. Organizers of a planned march that may snarl traffic in one of Chicago's most heavily populated neighborhoods say that they don't want the support of the city's mayor. The Reverend Gregory Livingston said Monday that it would be ridiculous to see Rahm Emanuel's approval since they are marching in part to call for him and Police Superintendent Eddie Johnson to step down. Protesters on Thursday planned a march along Lakeshore Drive during the evening rush to Wrigley Field before a San Diego Padres-Cubs game. And a law aimed at boosting the number of potential organ donors in Illinois appears to be working as intended. The law that allows 16 and 17-year-olds to opt into the organ donor program. Now, Gatehouse Media reports that 20,000 new people have signed up as donors since the law took effect in January. We give you more than 40 local news updates every day with News Talk 94.7 and 970 WMAY. Depend on it.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.